Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from the only Savior from sin and death, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pilate had made up his mind. He was finally convinced by the Jews that Jesus should be crucified. Pilate feared a rebellion, an uprising for the Jews that would not make him look good. It was better for one man to die, he had reason, as had others, than for there to be chaos and disorder. The Jews had even welcomed the blood of Jesus to fall on them, allowing Pilate to wash his hands of the entire affair. After serious flogging, leaving Jesus just enough alive to get to the cross, Pilate had Jesus crucified. It was around 9 a.m. when Jesus was pinned to the cross and raised up from the earth, the act that would draw all people to himself, as Jesus had said to Nicodemus. Even as the nails were going into his hands and his feet, Jesus was moved by compassion. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The crucifixion watchers hurled ridicule at Jesus. The soldiers divided his clothing among them. Both the criminals crucified with Jesus insulted him. But finally, one of them had a change of heart. Faith had been created in that criminal's heart to the extent that he asked Jesus simply to remember him when he came into his kingdom. Jesus there upon the cross promised that that man's faith in him was enough for the forgiveness of all his sin, for his faith was in the only right object of salvation. "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." After this, Jesus made sure to secure his own mother's future by entrusting her to his beloved disciple, John. John was to view her as his own mother, and from that day on, he took her into his own home. And then, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, a strange phenomenon took place around noon. Darkness covered the whole land. Now, this darkness went beyond Jerusalem and Israel. Reports of the strange darkness have been historically rumored in Egypt and up near modern-day Turkey. Some used a solar eclipse as a natural explanation. However, the very time of the crucifixion, so near to the regular celebration of the Jewish Passover, which hinged upon the time of the full moon, meant that a solar eclipse was not possible at that time. Plus, the moments of darkness that come with a solar eclipse last around 7 minutes. The darkness that covered the land while Jesus was on the cross lasted for 3 hours. Luke wrote that the sun's light had failed. And we as Christians, we have no trouble with this, as we believe what the Bible says about the ninth plague that was upon the land of Egypt, complete darkness for 3 days. And we believe that the sun literally stood still in the sky while Joshua and the Israelites won their battle. The one true God can and does perform miracles. This is true. And with that being accepted, what was then the purpose of the sun going dark at that time? Christians have most often associated this darkness with God's judgment upon the world. The Creator of the universe was dying upon the cross. the beloved Son of God, the very light of all the world, had been rejected by mankind. Snuff out the author of life and light, and God darkens the Son himself. There was no report of any cloud in the sky. No storm had suddenly rolled in. It was simply dark, and frighteningly so. The crowds had followed Jesus to the cross around 9 a.m. that morning. There was likely no thought whatsoever of being there at any time of darkness. With the sun's light itself failing, fear and trepidation ensued in the very dark of day. Not only was this God's judgment upon mankind, but on the one representative of all mankind. Jesus was there upon the cross, bearing the weight of all sin and death. He who knew no sin had become sin. Such is the judgment wrought by all our sin. Light is stripped away, and the world is left in darkness and in fear. After 3 hours, with no light, Jesus cried out the very opening words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" No answer. And no exaggeration. The Father had forsaken the Son, for the Son was the sin of all mankind. And God cannot tolerate sin. Sin must be paid for. Justice must be served. And the suffering and the death of the eternal Son of God was the only price, the only payment that could last forever, to cover over all sin without end. After 6 hours upon the cross, nearing the very point of death, the Lord Jesus fulfilled Scripture yet again by crying out, "I thirst." Sour wine was thrust up to him by a sponge upon a hyssop branch. And with blood-encrusted lips, freshly stung by the cheap beverage, Jesus said, "It is finished." Tetelestai. Completion. Fulfillment. There was nothing left to do for our forgiveness and our salvation. No one can add more than what Jesus already did. Knowing that all was complete, and even though the Father had forsaken him, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." With that, he bowed his head, gave up his spirit, breathed his last. The darkness remained, but now it was silent. No more words from Jesus. But suddenly the earth began to shake all around. Rocks from the surrounding hillsides began to split in two. Now this truly was not normal. And the centurion in charge of the crucifixion blurted out with awe, and he said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Reports would later be heard that the thick curtain in the Jerusalem temple that separated the people from the most holy place, which represented the very location of God's presence, had been torn clean in two from top to bottom, not but a few moments after the time of Jesus' death. The soldiers then came to the cross to speed up the deaths of the crucified by breaking their legs. But seeing that Jesus was already dead, a soldier thrust a spear through Jesus' side, and out flowed blood and water. a secret disciple of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Sanhedrin, secured the body of Jesus and took him away to his own newly purchased tomb. Mary Magdalene and another Mary watched the entire scene. With the sun beginning to set, the Passover Sabbath day upon them, final treatment of Jesus' dead body would have to wait. They would make their way back on Sunday morning. Another disciple, Nicodemus, had purchased much ointment already, and he and Joseph had wrapped Jesus in a clean linen shroud. A great stone was rolled into place in front of the tomb's entrance. Jewish leaders feared a faked resurrection by the disciples of Jesus, so they got Pilate to give them a charge of soldiers to secure the tomb until after the third day. And even an official seal was placed around the stone to secure and ensure that there was no tampering. Darkness once again covered over the earth, this time due to nightfall. The sun had set on the scene of Golgotha, the place where the God-man Jesus Christ had suffered and had died. But in that great scene of Jesus Christ and of him crucified, the forgiveness of all sins has been won. The light of Christ has overcome the darkness of sin and of death. And forever in that sacred light, you will live. Amen.